When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
I feel that we had to go in a different direction, and that's why I did that today. This change, the change that we made today, that I made, I believe will bring new energy and positivity that will lead to more wins starting now.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
To save his life, call his wife in.
Hey, 403! McMonagle here with you on this Monday morning. Let's get the week started. We've spent a lot of time here on The Fan this morning with Reaction Monday. But there is a Preview Monday as the New York Mets, coming off a 9-0 drubbing, getting absolutely throttled by the Los Angeles Dodgers, will look ahead to a game number 2 later today, 4 o'clock, I believe. Sean Manaea versus a bullpen game for the Los Angeles Dodgers. You tell me they can't win that game? They can. They need to bounce back. They had an ugly game in every way, shape, and form. Senga, I don't know if Senga should have started or not. I was more upset about Senga just being a possibility against Philadelphia. Once that happened and they won, I assumed this was going to happen. Whether it was game one or not, I didn't know. I didn't love him in game one. I don't love him pitching at all, but it goes deeper than just the couple of runs he gave up at the start of this game. Yes, that put them in a little bit of a hole. Didn't pitch well at all. It gave the Dodgers some momentum, but ultimately, the Mets didn't play well at all. They did nothing offensively, had a couple of opportunities, couldn't come through. Terrible at bat from Vientos. Had one real shot there in that fourth inning with Marte up and two runners on. Other than that, not much. Maybe the Winker play, which again, they didn't hit. They didn't run the bases. Winker makes a boneheaded play on the base path and getting thrown out at third when they could have had a first and third situation with nobody out, but that would have already been down 6. The bullpen didn't come in and pitch that well. Peterson didn't have one of his better performances. Buto gave up runs. I'm surprised Buto was even in the game. But the manager didn't manage that great. I would have pulled Senga out earlier than he did and not let him start the second inning. I would have never went to Buto down in the game knowing I'm going to need him possibly. And you know how Buto doesn't pitch back-to-back days. They didn't hit. They didn't field. We saw an error from Pete Alonso on a bad throw to second base on a ground ball to first, trying to turn a double play. Marte kind of misplayed a ball out in right field. Didn't play defense. Didn't run the bases. Didn't do anything right. Got beat 9-0 by a Dodger team. And that's pretty much, it's a wake-up call for the New York Mets. You are in a series with a damn good baseball team that won 98 games. And yeah, they're injured. And yeah, they're throwing bullpen games at you in game 2 of the NLCS. But that lineup, especially at the top, even with a hobbled Freddie Freeman, is as good as we've ever seen. We have Hall of Famers, 1, 2, and 3, at the top of that order. But they have the rotation that can beat this team. They have the lineup that matches up, especially the bottom of the lineup. And they have a bullpen that can match up, I think, with this Dodger team. But it's a wake-up call that if you make mistakes, if you don't pitch, if you don't play well, if you don't run the bases well, if you don't pitch well, if you don't hit, you don't do anything offensively, if you make mistakes out in the field, this is a team that's not going to let it slide. And if they play like this, every game they're going to lose. But now we look forward to Sean Manaea, who's been their best pitcher, their ace, their stud, who's on the mound against a Dodger bullpen day. And the Mets have every opportunity to win this game. They have every opportunity to get back into the series. In fact, I think they will. Now they're in a series, but this is a very important game. You don't want to fall behind 2-0 heading back home. You want to take this game. You want to split this series in Los Angeles, head back with home field advantage back in your favor, with pitching matchups that should favor you moving forward. You have, obviously, Yamamoto pitch, but right now, the way the Mets are throwing the baseball, I feel good. The way the offense has come through in the clutch, not in this game, but in this postseason, the Mets have an opportunity. You should not feel really any sort of major wavering to your faith in this Met team. It's an ugly loss. It's one that's easy to flush away, in my mind. And now you get ready for a real important game and a lot of pressure on Manaea because you're not going to have Buto. I'm not saying that the bullpen's depleted, but you're not going to have Peterson. You're not going to have Buto. Right? You still have Maton. You'll still have Stanek. You probably still have Reed Garrett. You're going to have Diaz for multiple outs, maybe even a multiple inning performance. Go out there and win this game. All the pressure's on Manaea to make sure he gets through that first couple innings. Give this team some breathing room. Hopefully the offense can get going, give them a lead, and suddenly you'll feel a lot different about the series. But right now it's a major wake-up call that you are playing the Los Angeles Dodgers, the super team that's pretty damn good, and if you make mistakes, they'll capitalize. And then we'll get to the Yankees here, as we haven't really had a chance to talk about them, but now we turn to Preview Monday, and the Yankees will start Game 1 tonight in the Bronx against the Cleveland Guardians in a series that they better not have a wake-up call because no one, and I mean no one, is giving the Guardians a chance to win this series. And they shouldn't because the Yankees are better. The Yankees are a better baseball team. They've proved it throughout the year. They have really, other than Class A at the back end of the bullpen right now, Weaver's been every bit as good, doesn't have the track record. But I feel good about this Yankee bullpen. I think the rotation is far better and the biggest advantage of this series. They literally have no one. Cleveland has no one. And that lineup, as good as Ramirez is, and as good as Kwan can be at the top, and, you know, Lane Thomas has hit some big home runs, and Fry's pretty good, and we know, you know, Naylor here as Yankee fans. We've seen him rock the baby or whatever the nonsense he pulls. But this is a series that the Yankees need to win. It starts tonight in Game 1, and the Yankees had a first real decision. Aaron Boone, Brian Cashman and company had a real decision here to start with what pitcher they're going to throw in Game 1. And they elected to go with Carlos Rodon Game 1 after his miserable performance in Game 2 of the ALDS. And, you know, the more I think about it, if you're going to pitch him, this is probably the game to pitch him. I was a little hesitant. I said last night, I did a show last night, Sunday morning, and I thought maybe you want to get him away from Yankee Stadium. There's a lot of pressure, and there's just no way to put this. Whether you think this is a suitable answer, whether you think this speaks to the psyche of this team or not, there's been some pressure built around this stadium. There's no doubt. The Yankees have played better on the road. The two best games of the ALDS that they played were on the road in Kansas City. Took both games from Kansas City. They had the most road wins in all of Major League Baseball this year. They've played better on the road. And considering the hype around Rodon, whether it's him getting up for the game and the over enthusiasm and the way he went completely nuts peacocking on the mound and sticking his tongue out and laughing and here we go, boys, and all that, you know, building into the feeding off the crowd, plus the negative angle of it, of the crowd turning on him, understanding the fan base right now is very fickle with him, understanding that, you know, his wife, and I think he's able to compartmentalize and understand that there's crazies in every fan base, but you do have fans attacking his wife's social media and all that. I thought maybe it's a chance to get him later in the series in a situation on the road where he won't have to deal with the fan base. He won't have to deal with being amped up in front of a home crowd. But ultimately, if you look at it, the logistics of it, I guess it makes the most sense because I think you have to have a short leash with him, an extremely short leash with him. We have seen how he comes out of these games, maybe even let him use the enthusiasm of the Yankee Stadium crowd. Have him pitch the same performance he pitched in Game 2 of the ALDS and move on from him quickly. Don't even, you know, allow him to get more than a batter on in the fourth. Have an extremely quick leash. And I know we don't like that. I know the baseball, you know, historians and guys who have been around forever don't like the idea of pulling a pitcher that quickly. But if you want to let him come out, throw 99 miles an hour at Yankee Stadium, get through the first couple of innings and have a quick hook, I feel like they're in prime position in Game 1 to do that as opposed to anywhere else because you got Game 2 followed up by Gerrit Cole, their ace, who you expect to go deep into the game and not need an immense amount of bullpen or an immense amount of innings covered. I mean, you never know, but that's your hope. And then that's followed off by an off day. So if you're going to have a game where you know you're going to the bullpen early, that you are going to have a short leash with a starting pitcher who tends to unravel once things start rolling in the wrong direction, which is exactly what Carlos Rodon is. Right? Carlos Rodon, perfect example is what we saw the other night. He is like his stuff was as electric as it's been all year, the first three innings of that start. He was on top of the world. He was striking out everybody. He's sticking his tongue out. He's Michael Jordan out there. And then Salvador Perez hits one home run and like that. Like that. His confidence left him. He stopped throwing the fastball. He was trying to fool him with the breaking stuff. And immediately that inning fell apart. The game fell apart. Yankees take a loss. That's the kind of stuff you're afraid of. But if you have the ability in a game one, followed up by Cole, followed up by a day off, where you can deploy that bullpen early, you can go to Clay Holmes if you'd like. The great Clay Holmes. You can go to him in the fourth inning. You can go to Cousins. You can go to Canely. You can go to whoever you want. Whatever lane that the Yankees love to throw their guys in lanes, whatever lane is there in the fourth inning, go to that guy. Get out of that jam. Get through the middle innings. Then get to your later guys early. Throw, you know, you got Hill. You got Cousins. You got, obviously, Weaver and Canely and Clay Holmes. You got five guys there to get you through the last six innings. So I think that's probably what they're thinking. The idea of the quick hook and the early bullpen game benefits them in game one, as opposed to if they push in the game three and have to do that. Well, now you've got four and five lined up right next to each other all in a row. And suddenly this bullpen that hasn't been tested that way. Yes, it's 15 in a scoreless inning, 15 in a third scoreless innings. They haven't had to go back to back. They've had so many stupid off days in this series that they haven't had to be pushed like that. If you have a game with Rodon in the third inning, suddenly you got to go through and get six innings and however many outs. Now you got to follow that up the next day. You might need your bullpen in a game four. So I think this is the right move for the New York Yankees. They're primed and locked and loaded for a series to get back to the World Series. They are better than Cleveland in almost every way. This is a series the Yankees have to win. They can't have a reality moment loss game one. This is a big game for the Yankees. Is a big start for the Yankees and for Carlos Rodon. And this lineup and Aaron Judge, and you know, every conversation with the Yankees comes back to Aaron Judge. Aaron Judge has got to put away his ALDS. He's got to put away his recent struggles in postseason. This has got to be a fresh, clean slate for him, knowing there's room to breathe now. Because I think the difference of pressure between a five-game set and a seven-game set is enormous. Feels like every game in a five-game series can define a series where now you're in a seven-game set and you can relax a little bit. And hopefully Judge relaxes. But this lineup needs to get it going. And if you look at the pitching, the biggest matchup for me is the Cleveland starting pitching against this lineup, because they don't have one. They do not have a rotation to speak of. Luis Gil is going to start game four for the New York Yankees. I think you could argue Luis Gil would be the best starter on the Cleveland Guardians. Like, that's where we are. That's why they can't lose this series. That's the matchup they have to dominate. That's what's going to separate them from having a long, drawn-out series with the ability to blow it, or having a quick series and moving on to the World Series for the first time since 2009. Can this offense, can Aaron Judge get to the lousy starting pitching of the Cleveland Guardians and set them up for success? Get to that bullpen. Have your ace and Clark Schmidt and Luis Gil and Carlos Rodon give you just enough. Get to the bullpen, score runs, make this series easy. That's what I'm looking for from the New York Yankees. The Mets are looking to get back into it. And, of course, we get to the Jets, who will be playing despite all the nonsense that goes around them. It's just time to play the damn game. And whoever's calling the plays, whoever's leading the team as the head coach, it comes down to this quarterback and this offense executing. Because I don't know how much it's been about play calling. I don't know how much it's been about game plan. This quarterback hasn't played well. Rodgers has stunk. And amazingly enough, they're playing for the right to be in first place in their division against the Bills team coming off two losses, a Bills team where their unbelievable starting quarterback has had some of the worst games of his career against this Jets defense, and an opportunity for the New York Jets to put aside some of the noise and quiet all of the haters, at least for a week, and go about winning games, which is what they need to focus on now that they've made all the decisions. There's no longer the coach's hot seat hanging over the franchise. There's no more worrying about who's going to play call and how bad the offensive coordinator is. None of it. All that's left is how Aaron Rodgers is going to play, how this defense is going to play, and whether or not they can actually win games and become what we all expected them to be, a legitimate playoff team and a contender inside the AFC. So all those things are on the docket. We talked a lot about the Giants as well and their miserable offensive performance, but I'm kind of tired of talking about how much Daniel Jones and this offense can't score points. I'm sick of it, quite frankly. 888-808-1019. Let's get to your calls real quick. Vinny in Staten Island. What's up, Vin?
Hey, good morning, Chris. How are you? Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you, buddy. What's going on?
Ready for game one tonight. I think the Yankees lineup need to give Rendon a head start, a run support, because if he gets run support, I think he'll settle down. Then there's not a lot. Because he gets pressure. I feel like he has pressure on him. When the Yankees don't give him the run support, then he has to go out there and feel like he has to dominate. I think he just needs to relax. Mm-hmm. If the Yankees give him the run support that he needs, go out there, pitch your 1-2-3 inning. Don't look at the strike at the side. Just get some ground balls, get some fly balls. Let the Yankees lineup do their job. And then maybe he could settle down with a lead. Because if it's still 0-0 in the top of the second, then he's going to feel like, all right, now I have to go out there and ramp it up a little bit more. And that's the problem. He feels like when he gets ramped up, he loses control. He doesn't settle. He doesn't work with the catcher. So if the Yankees give him the lineup, the run support, I think he'll do pretty well.
Almost like every other pitcher, you want to get some runs and stabilize the game a little
bit. Yeah, but that's not like every pitcher.
It's Rendon.
I disagree.
I think giving Clark Schmidt runs would be enormous for him because he doesn't have to be perfect. You feel like you have to be perfect. I think Luis Gil would benefit immensely from scoring 2 or 3 runs in the first inning. I understand.
I understand your point, Chris.
Yeah, good.
No, I feel like with I wanted to see maybe Gil start game one, or you know, like because he hasn't pitched at all. I don't think he even came out of the bullpen.
No.
So that's the freshest guy right there. I think you should go game one, let him experience the playoff, and then you go Rodon game two. Hell, you may even go cold game two now because
they are going cold game two.
Oh, they're all good. Okay, so yeah, so
they
I mean, I would go like
they Gil. Already announced the rotation. They've been thank you for the call, Vinny. They announced the rotation. It's going to be Carlos Rodon game one, Gerrit Cole game two, Clark Schmidt game three, Luis Gil game four. I don't want to like at this point. If you're worried about, and I don't think you were. You were talking about fresh. If you're worried about the layoff, I don't know if there's much of a difference now with the layoff. The layoff has been so long for Luis Gil. I don't think it matters whether it's later today or in a couple more days. Like, the layoff is ridiculously long, so it's just a matter of how he's going to feel on that day. You could have started Clark Schmidt. You could have started Luis Gil. You could have started Rodon. I guess they eliminated Luis Gil early on from the process in that decision. The decision was Clark Schmidt or Carlos Rodon. I think it's because of the bullpen. I think that's the reason you do the matchup. You do the matchup because you know game one, backed by Cole and a day off, that you feel pretty good about going to your bullpen for extensive innings. I think that's the reason you go him game one. I also, like you said, the ball gets rolling in the wrong direction. I don't think Luis Gil is that same way. Like, he might just not have it and throw and, you know, be off. But I don't think if he's on, he's on. A home run isn't going to kill him. But the thing about the runs, that helps every pitcher, man. Like, I don't – Rodon, he could lose it just as easily. You know, like, he was going along. I don't think it was the fact that he had no run support yet when he gave up the home run because he had a lead. He had a one-run lead when he gave up that home run. He gave up the run to Salvador Perez. He said it himself. It knocked him out of focus. He said it in the post game. He said it in the preview of this game, talking to the media yesterday. Knocked him out of focus. He knew how important that's the mental games he's playing. They scored a run. He wanted to make sure he put up a zero. He knew the numbers Perez against him. He thought it was the biggest out of the inning. And instead of getting that out, he gave up a home run, and it completely ruined him. That's the kind of stuff he's got to avoid. And honestly, my point is the Yankees have to avoid it for him. That's game one is the spot to go to your bullpen early. Cole's going to throw 6-7 innings. Even if he's not good, you'll let him throw 6-7 innings. Even if he's not, you know, normal Gerrit Cole, I would expect him to be on regular rest. But I like the way they lined it up. I like Clark Schmidt. He's a steady guy for the third game, and we'll see what they get from Luis Gil. But whatever they get from Luis Gil, I'm just telling you right now, it's going to be it should be better than whatever you're going to get from Cleveland. They don't even have, like, who are their starters? Like, this is what makes me laugh when everybody, Rodon stinks, Luis Gil stinks, you're going to count on these guys? I hear you, but who the hell is Cleveland pitching? The Yankees are far better than Cleveland. There's no reason the Yankees shouldn't win the series. It will be a disappointment of epic proportion if the Yankees are not playing in the World Series. There's no other way to put it. We've been saying it. I know by this point it's cliched. I'm not breaking news. I wish there was another way to put it. The Yankees are better. The Yankees have played, like, the Yankees bullpen is just as, the way it's pitching right now, it's just as good, other than Class A being one of the best relievers in recent memory and certainly this year. But Weaver has been unbelievable, and he's probably more proficient at going multiple innings or getting more than just three outs than Class A is. But Holmes has been great. I mean, the entire bullpen's been great. The lineup's better. The rotation's better. The bullpen's just as good. There's no reason the Yankees shouldn't win the series. It's going to come down to if they score runs, and Judge is going to have to hit this mediocre starting pitching. Plain and simple. The Yankees are going to have to score runs, and they have to score them early.
When this happened, you talk about it on The Fan.
Swung out and missed strike three. Put it in the books. And to the New York Mets, California, here we come.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 4:30, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. The other thing with the Yankees, since it is Yankee hot stove, and hell, they are playing game one of the ALCS later this evening. The other thing about the Yankees that is a decision right now for them with the roster is Anthony Rizzo. And I can't believe I'm saying this. I really can't believe I'm saying this. It would be a mistake to put him on the roster. I don't see the benefit of putting Anthony Rizzo on the roster right now. Both Cabrera and Birdie showed you that they can play defense. Birdie, in particular, looked like a freaking veteran with the footwork around the bag, turning the double play on a hard ground ball to first and throwing it to second, the diving stop for a double play in game two. Like, both of them showed they can make the scoops. Both of them showed they can play first base. And I just don't see a benefit to it because right now I would think both of them are going to give you better at-bats than Rizzo. Rizzo really wasn't hitting. He was just starting maybe to turn it on a little bit, but he hasn't really hit all year. He's going to have to grip a bat without really having his right-handed right fingers able to grip the bat. And the only reason I would have wanted him on the ALDS roster, excuse me, or the ALCS roster, would be because I felt so inept defensively at the position that I just needed someone with a glove that I trusted, and that would have been Anthony Rizzo. If Birdie and Cabrera cost the Yankees in any way in the ALDS or looked like they were unfit to play the position, then I think you put them on the roster and play them at first base, and you'll live with whatever your offense gives them. But both of them have given you good at-bats. Cabrera walked three times in a game. Birdie's hitting the ball hard the other way consistently, and they both look good defensively. I really don't see a reason. I really don't see a reason to put Rizzo on this roster right now. I just can't imagine him being able to hit. One, he's now ice cold. He hasn't hit in how long? I mean, is he even taking swings with it? Like, I'm not there. I don't understand how much he's doing. I don't know every detail. I don't know if he feels comfortable swinging the bat, but he's got broken fingers. And at the start of this, I thought, I don't care about his offense. I might need his defense. I think those two players have proven to me I don't need his defense. I'm not sure what justifies putting Anthony Rizzo on the roster, and I like Anthony Rizzo. Don't get me wrong. And if they get to a World Series and he can legitimately grip a bat and hit, I'm not opposed to it. But, I mean, what is he going to give you offensively? And I don't need him defensively. There is no reason for Anthony Rizzo to be on this roster. None. Now, if they're going to play Verdugo in left field, I'm not sure there's a reason for Dominguez on this roster. I mean, they had a six-man bench that they didn't use. Like, they didn't pinch run. They didn't pinch hit. They had a six-man bench. They didn't do anything with it. Other than what? Like, one time they pinch ran for Giancarlo Stanton? One time? So, I don't know what they're going to do with their roster. If they're... Now, they were debating between 10 and 11 pitchers in the ALDS. Now, they're debating between 11 and 12 pitchers. I don't see why not to have 12 pitchers. I really don't. I don't know what the moves on the bench are. Right? Birdie can run. Cabrera can run. Maybe not steal a base, but he can run. If you need to run for Stanton and hope for a double, you know, a scoring from first on a double or something. Like, I think the athleticism is there. I don't know what you need Rizzo for. I'm not sure the role Dominguez has to play. Like, I think they found their team. Now, they're going to have to hit better. I mean, obviously, you go to Judge. Obviously, you know, you go to the biggest hitter in the lineup and the best hitter on the planet who needs to come through. But you look at it, you know, you need more from Wells. You need more from Jazz Chisholm, who was having fun playing the villain against Kansas City, but offensively, he didn't do anything. He's got to come through. The bottom of this lineup's got to be better. Volpe's been doing a pretty good job. But other than that, Verdugo had a good game one, ultimately nothing. Jazz Chisholm hasn't done anything. Wells got an RBI base hit and a walk in game one, didn't do anything the rest of the way. Those guys are going to be important. You need all those guys to come through because that's what makes this lineup deeper and better than this Cleveland Guardian lineup. And this is an opportunity. Look, here's the thing. You feel comfortable against this team because they beat them. Right, they beat them in 17. They beat them 2 years ago. This is a team the Yankees have traditionally beat, other than 97 and 2007. And that's a long time ago. But this is not a cakewalk. All right, I get the feeling, and it's starting to bother me and make me nervous a little bit. I have to be fair. It's starting to make me a little nervous. Everyone who is not a Yankee fan, because Yankee fans will have a natural sort of fear. Well, any fan base would. Anything can happen in baseball. We've seen it before. The Yankees haven't played well in the postseason with this group historically, or haven't hit in the clutch. Still didn't do it in Kansas City, managed to get through the series. But if you are not a Yankee fan, and I think that's why there's been so much Subway Series talk, because anyone who's not a Yankee fan, whether it's obviously Boomer Angio in the morning show, Sal in the midday show, they might have their doubts about the Yankees or don't think they're all that good or whatever, but they've already put them in the World Series. That's why we've had so much Subway Series talk, because if the opinion of most is that if the Mets make it, we will have it because the Yankees are already in the World Series. Cleveland just doesn't know it yet. Like, that's the opinion. And it's not fair because this Cleveland team is dangerous. This Cleveland team is pretty damn good. Are they as good as the Yankees? No. Should the Yankees win the series? Absolutely. But can they lose it? Of course. Kwan hit 500 in the postseason. Ramirez is a legitimate superstar, as Aaron Boone tried to tell you. Fry had one hell of a year. Naylor, 100 RBIs. They just can't throw a damn pitcher. They have no rotation whatsoever. That's the only thing. But this is a big game one to get off to a good start, a big game two for the Mets to get back into the series, a big game for the Jets to answer some of the questions that have been presented over this week when it comes to just the chaos around the organization. They need to rise above all the chaos and just play good football, because that's really what, like, if you look at this team, again, not to rehash the Robert Saleh thing, it's that, you know, I can't cry about it because I don't think he's a good head coach, but I also don't think he's the main reason they haven't played well. And I'm not sure what this is going to change. Really not. And we'll see if the play... I don't even know if it's the play calling, to be totally honest with you. Aaron Rodgers hasn't played well. This offense hasn't been on the same page. It's not so much the play calling. It's getting these guys together and being on the same page and working in, you know, working simpatico. Because right now, I mean, how many times have we seen the ball just go in the opposite direction of the running back? Or the wide receiver. They're just whoever, like, it's just been brutally bad. The connection between him and Wilson has been awful despite the fact they force-fed him in the last game and he was able to get some receptions, he still had multiple occasions where he's going one way, the ball's going the other. Aaron Rodgers looks old. Aaron Rodgers looks slow. It's time for Aaron Rodgers to prove who he still is. This is a big game against Buffalo, against the team that, you know, Josh Allen, that the Jets defense has played well against Josh Allen historically. They're coming off two miserable losses, including one of the dumber things I've ever seen a team do at the end of the game, with the way they mismanaged the clock up against their own goal with 40 seconds left, acting like they needed to go score in a tie game. I mean, they've been dumb. They've been poorly coached at times. They're in salary cap hell. They don't have weapons to throw the ball to. Like, there's a bunch of stuff about Buffalo right now where, despite the fact that early on in the year, they look like a force in the AFC, I think right now with the way Baltimore's playing, you'd put them above it. Clearly Kansas City, even though they have their issues right now and their injury issues, I mean, how could you not put Patrick Mahomes over him? Like, I don't know where this Buffalo team is. But if you look at this division, the Patriots are just god-awful. Without Tua, the Dolphins aren't much better. And it's a two-team race and a big game. A big game tonight. And yet again, we will have all... We're going to have three... Like, you think about the sports. The sports are sporting. As I've heard Keith say a lot. Sports are sporting. Like, right now, you're going to have a Met game followed by a Yankee game and a Jet game. Two league championship series games. As big as they get. And then a game with the Jets with the division on the line trying to stabilize this franchise, let alone the season. I mean, there's a lot going on. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. We'll come back, continue to take your phone calls on all those subjects, as well as a little Knicks, as there was an interesting little situation happening at the Garden last night as the Knicks took on the Minnesota Timberwolves. And a former friend seemed foe.
Need to get out of a meeting? Call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS Live on Paramount Plus.
Yeah, do you need to get out of those pesky 4:46 in the morning meetings? Come on and give me a call. 888-808-1019. Nothing better than getting out of those. You know, everyone's got to do it. You have the meetings with your kids' teachers. You got the dentist appointment, whatever, at 4:47 in the morning. I know you're busy. Use me as an excuse. Get out of those 4:47 appointments. Give me a call. God knows I'd be in the middle of something right now if I weren't hosting the show. I'd be totally right. I mean, especially on a holiday Monday, absolutely. I'd be busy at 4:47 in the morning right now. Busy about playing third base for the New York Yankees, taking curtain calls in my dreams. You ever have that dream? I've had the dream where I'm big on the in the moment, can't function, can't run fast, run in slow motion, swing in slow motion, in a fight for my life, punching in slow motion. A lot of those dreams. All in different situations. And then a lot of talking to people. I know it's one person, but it's the face of another. I don't know why. That's a weird one. Like, I know exactly who I'm talking to, but it looks nothing. I'm talking to a high school buddy, but it's Fliegelman. Like, it makes no sense. I don't understand it. But them's my dreams. And it seems like, wait until you hear this transition. Seems like Dante DiVincenzo only dreamed of being a Knick. It doesn't appear to be too happy that he got traded to Minnesota. Now, he denies exactly what he said, but whatever the case may be, it felt like at the foul line in their preseason game last night, DiVincenzo. Now, look, they're all buddies and they, you know, really rib each other and get on each other and have fun with each other. And I'm sure that's part of it. But you can clearly tell that DiVincenzo is not happy. And he's yelling at the bench while on the foul line. Now, it looks like to me, he says, thanks for trading me, Tibbs. That's what it's been presented as. He denies that he was talking to Tibbs. But he clearly says something along the lines of, wait, watch what happens when you run the show. Or this is what happens when you run the show. He's talking to somebody. He's pissed off. He's not happy. And then he gets into with Rick Brunson, the coach, and obviously, you know, Jalen Brunson's father, after the game. I feel bad, right? And I know he's downplayed a little bit of being unhappy here. He talked about how much his connection to the fan base, and it was legit and it was real. And that series against Philadelphia will always be special. Those moments, those big shots, they'll always be special. And that's really the beginning, hopefully, of this great run. And that will always be the team that we first fell in love with. Yes, Julius Randle did some special things when they were the four seed and lost that series to Atlanta kind of during the pandemic. That was sort of the beginning of this, no doubt. He came here, wanted to turn around, became a stud player when he was, you know, really someone here to be traded, you know. And it kind of started there, but, I mean, to steal a quote from Dave Gettleman, the full bloom love really transpired last year. And DiVincenzo, you know, stepping up after the Julius Randle injury will always be remembered very fondly. I think all Knick fans will have fond memory of him. And I'm sure that he wanted to continue that, playing with his friends, the atmosphere of the Garden. I mean, he went to a pretty good team, but who could do special things of their own. But this was a spot for him, and I'm sure he's pissed off. And I don't know if he was unhappy with his role or whatever the case may be. He couldn't have been that unhappy because he seems pretty unhappy right now that he's not using that role and he's not here with this Knick team. But in the moment, you could tell, like, now, again, these guys get on each other. Even, you know, Mikal Bridges, the joke was that he got bullied into requesting a trade here. Like, they mess with each other. They're friends. You could see it on the sidelines after in the postgame. But it seemed like him and Rick Brunson were seriously in each other's face, and it wasn't just good-natured. It seemed like they were pissed off. It seems like he was pissed off at the foul line. And unfortunately, it ends sort of in a bad way. Doesn't change what happened here. Come on, Ragu, we love you. Don't be yelling at our guys. Good luck in Minnesota. But that was a scene I didn't expect. I did not think that he would show such animosity already, but not happy to be traded. Few are going all the way to Minnesota when he had an opportunity to be part of a team that was, you know, as good as anybody for a month last year in January and a chance to chase the championship as a Knick after the season he just had. So I feel for him, but made for one of those moments that were, I don't know, I guess it was like funny and then it was surprising and ultimately meaningless. 888-808-1019. Let's get back to the phone calls. Richie in Queens. What's up, Richie?
Hey, C-Mac. How are you?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Yeah. You know, he has to be devastated.
He is.
There's no doubt about it.
There's no doubt. He's got to be devastated.
Yeah. And look, I'm sure he talked about it. No, reality will hit. He'll have to accept where he is. But, you know, just going from that, like you said, that atmosphere to be with his buddies, to be in a city, and I know he loves the city, and to go to Minnesota, God, not that I'm knocking Minnesota, but there was a bit of a difference there. So I'll give him a pass for that. Hey, real quick with the game, I'm not second guessing it because I didn't like it from the go with the Senga situation.
Yeah.
Just didn't get it. You got your studs. You know, all of a sudden, Peterson, who was one of their best starters, is like mop-up guy.
Now all of a sudden, he's not in the rotation. Because they need a lefty, and, you know, they could use him in the bullpen, and he's been effective in that way. But I agree with you. Because to me, when it was first announced that he was going to start game one of the Philly series, which I made a bigger stink of it then than I did game one here, even though you could argue Manaea on regular rest and everything. But I just, if Senga's going to pitch in the series, which I guess I just took for granted because it is what it is. They already made that decision. I wasn't going to scream about what game he pitches in that much. Game one doesn't seem like it's a disaster for me. But the reason I didn't like it when it first happened is this team has been so much about holding players accountable and giving players what they've earned. And unfortunately, with no fault of his own, Kodai Senga hasn't earned these starts. He's been injured. He hasn't pitched. I understand he's the ace. He was the ace of the staff going in before he got hurt. I understand that he's got great stuff. I understand they're going to lean on him. He's their guy moving forward. But he didn't earn that start. David Peterson did. David Peterson has been great down the stretch. And to just, you know, brush him aside and put him in the bullpen so that Kodai Senga could throw 40 pitches and then 60 pitches, it never made much sense to me.
Yeah, and the other side, I guess the other side is, you know, and maybe things are different if somebody else is pitching. But the fact that they scored no runs, maybe it's say, hey, wait a minute, we'll come back with Benaiah tonight and get the second game, because all you want is one out of two. And with the Giants, real quick, too many mistakes. Obviously, the worst defensive padding I ever saw with the Burrows running 47 yards. 11 guys on the right side with two guys on the left.
I know. And, I could not believe how far he was running before I saw a Giant in the screen. I could not believe
it. And then the Thomas, obviously, illegally downfield.
Yeah, that was a killer.
That was a killer. Missing the field goal.
Those are the big mistakes.
And then obviously missing the kick. So there was just too many. And it just seems like they fight, and they were fighting like 3 yards, 6 yards, 8 yards. No big plays, obviously, missing neighbors. So they're 2-4. They played as good as they can, I guess.
I don't think they played as good as they can. You're talking about one of the worst defenses in the league this year. The Carolina Panthers put up 24 points.
Yeah, that surprised me.
Come on, you got to score. Their defense played as well as they could.
I just tells you how bad their offense is, I think, need everybody. So.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I understand their down neighbor is one of the more electric wide receivers, not just on the team, but in the league. I get it. They went into Seattle and beat Seattle without him. They threw the ball around. They made some plays. They showed you something. This is the worst. This is one of the worst defenses in the league. They had the worst third down percentage, defensively wise, in the entire league. They gave up 24 points to Carolina. They gave up a bunch of points to Washington. Like, they gave up points to Kansas City. They've given up a ton of points. They're 1-4, and their offense has been dynamic. And it would have been one thing if this team came in and Burrow does what he does, and you know Chase had a big game and they lost 35-17 or 35-25 or something. You live with it. It's a young, inexperienced defense, certainly in the defensive backfield. I would have been disappointed no matter how they lose, but I need to see something offensively. And we talk about the coach moving forward, because I don't know if they can be a playoff team or not. I don't know if they can be a playoff contender or not. The division seems to be crappy. Maybe they can be, maybe they can't be. I don't know. But I got to think about moving forward with this team on some... I'm focused on this year, but in the back of my mind, I'm always projecting, because I don't believe in this season to ultimately be a winning season. So where are we with the coach? Where are we with the quarterback? Where are we with the future? And part of the coach has to be getting this offense to function. And the last 2 weeks, we saw some of it. Even against Washington, they put the ball in the end zone, but the points aren't there. And when you regress every other week, like, I don't know, like, this coach, he took over play calling. He's an offensive guy. I need to see better. And I appreciate the fact he coached with some balls and coached with some aggression and didn't coach afraid as we've seen him coach before. He went after it on fourth down. I applaud every single one of them. But you've got to be better offensively. I need to see progression week by week from this offensive coach. Like we talked about at the beginning of the year, do you really think Brian Daboll's coach, he's under the hot seat? I mean, you think John Mara wants to really like change coaches again? And what do you do with the GM and all that? Well, he's an offensive head coach who's brought here and has now taken over the play calling. Don't I need to see improvement offensively? Like if he's not improving offensively, well, what is he doing? And I know he's the head coach, and he's got the purview of the entire team. And if they improve special team-wise and they improve defensively, I mean, does he get credit? I suppose, but he's the offensive play caller, and they can never get the ball down the field. Daniel Jones has good games but continues to make the same mistakes in year six that he made in year one, trying to throw the ball away down the middle of the field with a defender in his face. That leads to an easy interception. Missing throws, terrible with his deep passing, running the same, you know, boring, short of the sticks plays, trying to create these long sustaining drives. Like, I just, like, it's the same crap. Going into this game, scoring 7 against the Bengals, it's not good enough. All right, that's it for me. I'll catch you tomorrow, 2 a.m., after the Jet game, after the Yankee game, after the Met game. A big Monday night here in New York. Stay here on The Fan all day long to preview it all enjoy it all, embrace it all, get the feel of it all day long here on WFAN. You can always use the app as well to go back and listen to my show if you'd like. But that is the end of it for now. I'll catch you again at 2 a.m. Thank you for calling. Thank you for listening. Fliegelman, as always, appreciate the help. Let's go, Yankees. Let's go, Mets. Let's go, Jets. Big night. Enjoy it all. I'm out of here. Bye-bye.
Sports Radio 101.9.